24th message in the book of Romans, and stand in Romans chapter 8. And I just want to say praise the Lord for the meeting last week. It was a tremendous meeting. The preaching was right on target. And Brother Gibson texted me as he was leaving town, and he said, praying for those who raised their hand and knew they're lost. And I know that we have some young people in our church that are not saved. We're praying for them that God would work at the right time and speak to their heart and show them their need of salvation. And but that not just the young people, but for the older folks. Because there's people who need to be saved. And one day we're not going to get another opportunity. It's going to be over. It's going to be done. And you need to let God work in your life, but you also need to, when God's dealing with you, you need to do whatever God tells you to do. So again, a couple of weeks ago in the book of Romans chapter 8, what a great chapter Romans chapter 8 is. And there are some great truths found in this this chapter. One of my favorite verses is verse 11 that tells us that the same Spirit of God, the same Holy Ghost of God that raised up Jesus from the dead is the same Holy Ghost that lives within us. And today and last week we looked at the idea that we do have hope. Even though in this world, in this present world, even as the song was sung, there is suffering. But there is hope in our suffering, knowing that this world is not the end. Well, today I want to preach on this subject. Not only do we have hope, but we also have help. Now that's beginning in verse number 26. Bible says this: likewise, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So there is some amazing truths, and many people would say verse 28 is my favorite verse, like the verses that sometimes we look at, and Brother Gibson even alluded to, these are familiar verses. These are verses that people know about, like, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, or John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But then verse number 28, we love this. For we know that all things work together for good. Now, finish the verse. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If you're saved, you're called to God's purpose. If you're saved, here, listen to this. We have help. We have God's help. And we have God knowing everything that's going on. Even when we don't know what's going on, even God will take care of things, even when we can't take care of things, and God will pray for us even when we don't even know how to pray. Because in our infirmities and in our weakness, we don't even know sometimes what to say. We just know what's in our heart and we know what we want, but God's will sometimes ain't our will. So we have help in our time of need. God help us today. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would work as only He can in our lives. And thank You that the Holy Spirit that lives within us, Lord, He helpeth us in our infirmities. He helpeth us in our need, in our weakness. He helps us when we don't know how to pray. He helps us when we don't know what's going on. He helps us maybe when things don't seem exactly right, but yet we don't understand. And then when we don't even know how to pray, the Holy Spirit of God knows what to say and what to do. And take our groanings and our utterings and our prayers to the Heavenly Father and to sort them out and all do in the will of God. Help us, Lord, to understand that we have hope in suffering, but we also have help in our suffering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Now, I just want to go back in chapter 8 just for a second and to tell us some of the things that we find in this chapter that is a benefit to the child of God. We talked about, listen, what a benefit it is to understand that there is no condemnation to those who are saved. We're no longer condemned, which means that the very opposite for those who are not saved. If there is no condemnation for those that are saved, then there is condemnation for those who are not saved. We also have learned in this chapter, we've been saved, born again believer, we've been adopted into the family of God, and because of that adoption, we enjoy the benefits of that great privilege of adoption. We even looked at the idea that adoption in chapter number 8 has more to do with the benefits than it has to do with the relationship, because God in this passage of Scripture begins to talk about our glorification. You see, this world is not the end. And we looked at that in Sunday school as we looked at heaven or Zion and the benefits and some things we know about heaven, some things we don't know, some things we know that will not be there for sure, some books that will be there. But here's the greatest thing about heaven. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And I know God does all things well. And everything will be perfect. And whatever you can think about, heaven might be like, Paul would say it like this, well, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, or hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for us who are saved. So we cannot, there's no way we could ever grab a hold of heaven. But we do know that it's better than what's going on here. That's for sure. And so because of that, we enjoy the privileges and the benefits of adoption. We also learned in this chapter, hey, we are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And if we're a joint heir with Jesus Christ and we're able to enjoy that benefit, we also found out that in this present world, there will be suffering. There has to be suffering in this present world because of the presence of sin. It's just a part, and it rains on the just and the unjust, and there's going to be suffering. And people will suffer, and listen, there's all kinds of suffering that take place. But I will tell you this, our suffering is not without hope. And that's the message that we looked at in the last passage of this part of the Scripture. The Bible says in verse number 18, another great verse, "For I reckon," and that's a southern term, so you know the Bible's southern, "For I reckon that the sufferings..." Well, listen, I know that because no northerner would ever sing, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." But a southerner would sing that, amen? So I'm just saying there's just some things about the South that are in the Bible that's just a glorious thing. And here in verse 18 is one of them. "For I reckon..." Because my grandma used to say, "Well, I reckon so." Well, verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." I guess we got something better than what we got right now. But we still have to live in this life right now. So we also saw that this present world, there will be suffering. However, there in our suffering, it is not without hope. We suffer, but we suffer knowing that we have the hope of heaven. In fact, if we are blessed to share in our adoption with Jesus Christ, then in this passage of Scripture in the chapter 8, we also found out that we must be willing to suffer with Christ. And Jesus never did anything wrong. He never sinned. He never had a wrong thought. He never did a wrong deed, but yet they hated Him. And they crucified Him. And again, I love that verse 18 that with that hope, with that great truth. And whatever we suffer in this world is nothing, the Bible says, to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And I'm talking to saved people now. We also saw the truth that man and creation are groaning, waiting for the final benefits of adoption, which will be the redemption of our body. That verse, that chapter talks about that. The truth for today, though, is not only do we have hope, but listen to this. We have help. We have help right now. He's called the Holy Spirit of God. He was left when Jesus said to His disciples, I must go away, but I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit here for you. Because, you know, Jesus could only be in one place at one time, but the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at once like God the Father. And I'm just telling you, the truth for today is not only do we have great hope in our suffering and in our afflictions, in our bondage, or what Paul was going through. Paul said, not only do we have hope in our suffering, but hey, we have help right now. We have help. As people living in a fallen world, we're going to experience trying times. It's amazing the songs that we sing sometimes about trying times. Life difficulties range, listen to this, from minor inconveniences to life-threatening events or life-altering circumstances. Listen, the truth is we're either in a trial, been through a trial, going through a trial, or headed for a trial. Because that's the way life is. Man, you just get through something and you think, well, I made it through this. And around the corner, there's something else. That's called life. But we suffer not without hope, and we suffer not without help. And again, verse 28 is a most well-favored passage in the Bible for many people and for good reason. And for good reason. While your troubling circumstances may not change, you can be greatly blessed to know the Lord is doing what you don't even know He's doing. He's working in ways you have no idea. Sometimes I want God to show me, Lord, show me why this is going on. Lord, show me what's around the corner. Show me. But I can be blessed by knowing that whatever is happening, God is working even when I can't see it. Why? Because He's God. Now here's a couple, I think there's three things I want to look at. And the first thing I want us to look at from this passage that we need to get a hold of is, listen, think about this. We have help, and by that I mean God is our companion. God is with us. God has not left us. He's not forsaken us. He knows where we're at. And the Bible says in verse number 26, likewise, likewise, meaning, listen, likewise, the Spirit, look at this, also helpeth our infirmities. Help is here. Not help is on the way. Help is already here. It's right here with us. Likewise indicates that we have additional help to what He's already explained. And I don't make me say it again, but He's already explained about no condemnation. He's already explained the Holy Ghost lives inside of us. He's already explained that the sufferings of this world, present time, are not worthy. He's already explained that the earth is groaning and creation is groaning. But He says, likewise, meaning, hey, the Holy Ghost is inside of you and He is here to help you in your infirmities. The word helpeth means to come along and give aid or to give support, which is exactly what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do for the disciples when He told them. He told them, now listen, He said the Holy Spirit, He's going to judge people. He's going to show people that there is only one way of salvation. He's going to judge people. He's going to show people they're sinful. He's going to judge people, but He's also going to be there to help us. He helps us in our infirmities. What does that mean, infirmities? It means in our weaknesses. It means in our time of need. The word helpeth means to help. You know, in fact, there's only one other time this word is used in the Bible, which is amazing. And it was spoken about in our messages this week when Brother Gibson was preaching. In Luke chapter 10, remember when Mary, is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha is cumbered about, the Bible says, with much serving. And here's Jesus and His disciples and His entourage. And I will tell you one thing about the Jewish people in that land is they're very hospitable. I think I've told the story I was on a FedEx route and I went to this, I went to Merrill Lynch every day to make up pickups. I mean, it was like the same time every day. They closed at a certain time, and so I had to be there. And I got to know this man from Israel. He was from close to the airport. His family lived there, and I witnessed to him out of the Old Testament because I knew I couldn't witness to him out of the New Testament. He looked forward every day to me coming. And after getting to know him like for 6 months to a year on that route, one day he says, "You know, have you ever been to Israel?" I said, "No, but I have a great desire to go to Israel. I've always wanted to go there, hoping one day I'll be able to do this. But right now, that was a Bible college student. That's about the furthest thing from your mind is going to Israel. I was just trying to get enough groceries to feed my family." And he said, "Well, if you ever go, here's my parents' address, and all you got to do is knock on their door, and they'll tell you to come in and invite you in." And that's exactly the hospitality of the people. And God said that we need to be hospitable. We need to be like that. But in that story of Mary and Martha, she's got this whole group of people inside of her house. And she's doing what any Jewish lady would do. She's cumbered about with much serving. And she's trying to take care of things. And there is Jesus, Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. And we know that Martha, looking for help, looking for Mary to help her, said, "Listen, Jesus, can you tell Mary?" I always looked at it like this. She keeps looking at Mary going, "Hey, get over here." And finally, she looks over at the Lord Jesus Christ and she said, "Lord, could you tell Mary to get up and to help me with much serving?" And I'm telling you, that same word "helpeth" is the same word here. And it's only used those two times in the Bible, but you get the idea. Martha needed some help. She needed Mary to get up and to help her. My friend, we need help. And we have help. And it's not from Mary or Martha, it's from the Holy Spirit of God. And while Martha was looking for Mary to help her with the load of serving while Jesus and His group were there, we see here that the word "help" means to listen, to bear a load that I cannot take care of by myself. That's exactly what Martha was saying. "Mary, I can't do this by myself. You should be up helping." And she even tried to get the Lord to help her. And the Lord said, "Martha, now here's what you don't understand. Mary hath chosen that good part that cannot be taken away. The things that I am teaching and preaching here and what enters into her heart, that's something. And I know, listen, but Martha's like, but I need help. I need help. There's a burden." Hey, listen, I need help. And you need help. Especially in our infirmities. And you know what? The word "infirmities" I've already mentioned, but it means to be weak or to be feeble or to be frail. Hey, we are at times weak and feeble and frail. In fact, how often are we find ourselves in a place where we are utterly helpless? I like to put it like this. We're not in control. We like being in control. That's why I drive the car. I like being in control. I don't like sitting in the passenger seat. Next year, Lord willing, I'm supposed to go to Scotland. And this was a trip that I'd planned several years ago, and then COVID messed it up in 2020, 2021. Didn't even take the chance of 2022, so tried for 23. And going with Delbert White, and we got a couple of missionaries we're going to visit, we're hoping. And so he finally said, "You know what, we need to rent a car." I said, "I ain't rent no car. If I get around in Scotland, it'll be by bus or train or whatever." He goes, "No, we need to get a car." And I said, "Well, let me just tell you something, buddy. I'm not driving in Scotland. Because they drive on the wrong side of the road. I can barely drive on the right side of the road." I've been to Australia 4 or 5 times, and I've driven a couple of times, and I'm telling you, my head almost exploded every time. They're going the wrong way. Things are not right. My brain doesn't process that. And Delbert said he could handle. I said, good. Because I'm telling you, brother, I'd be helpless in that situation. And I need help. And Delbert, you're going to have to drive. So he said, well, you'll need to help me. I said, I ain't helping you. You don't understand. I'm going to sit over there and pray that we don't die while we're there. Because I've been driving the same way for 50-something years. First time I ever went to Australia, I stepped out, looked to the left, and almost got hit by a car coming this way. I said, what are you doing that for? And Brother Meredith grabbed me and pulled me back. He said, brother, you almost got killed. I said, well, at least I'd have been in glory fast, that's for sure. You see, what we need to understand is we are weak. And we are frail. And we do need help. But God says, I'm here to help you. And we find ourselves in places where we're not in control. Where we're utterly helpless over the situation. And you can fill in the blank with that. But Paul said at those times, we know not what we ought to pray for. That's what he said. Look at this. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I told the story a long time ago about visiting a family where the mother was very near to death. And one sister was there and had asked if I would pray that God would heal their mother. And I prayed that. And then later on that, I think it was the next day or that afternoon, I can't remember, I went by and there was another sister there. And she said, "Lord, preacher, could you just pray the Lord would take her home?" So I'm thinking, yesterday I'm praying for healing, today I'm praying for death. I'm confused. And you know, the truth is both of those ladies had the right intention and the right heart, but they didn't even know how to pray. Because really, sometimes we don't know exactly what the will of God is. But God does. And sometimes there's these difficulties and there's these frailties and there's these feebleness and there's this part of life. And we're just like, Lord, I know what I want. I know what I desire. But Lord, what do you desire? Lord, what do you want? Listen, God said, hey, I'm helping you. I'll take your utterings. I'll take your groanings. I'll take your heartfelt. And I'll take it to the Heavenly Father. And you know what? He knows what to do with it. That's help in time of need. Every believer encounters some difficulty in prayer. Sometimes the burden is so heavy, we cannot even feel like we can bear it. Sometimes there's no words to express the hurt that is inside of our heart. Sometimes the load in our heart goes beyond even our ability. And all we do sometimes is just cry out to God. And as we're crying out to God, we don't even know what we're crying out to God for. And the load is real. And under the weight of our circumstances, the Holy Spirit of God will cry out to God, the Bible says here in our text, and make intercession for us with groanings, listen to this, which cannot be uttered. Explain that to me. I can't. You want to talk about God talk? That's God talking. And He's not talking about speaking in tongues. That's not anything to do with what this passage of Scripture is talking about. It's talking about the Holy Spirit of God knowing what our heart is as we're crying out to God. And He's taking it to the Father, and the Father is working it out for us. Sometimes He'll say, He'll go, I know you don't understand. It's like the pastor sometimes. I know things that other people don't know. I just know. I know situations and people think they got it figured out and they try to mess things up. Sometimes people just need to leave things alone. Amen, preacher, that's right. Sometimes you just need to let God take care of it. Because God knows the things that you don't even know. And I want you to understand, God is a helper in time of our weakness. God is a helper in the time of our frailty. God is a helper in the time of our feebleness. We may be disappointed by the lack of other people helping us sometimes, but we will never be without the help of the Holy Ghost. He'll always be there. He bears the burden of life with us. He intercedes for us. The word intercede means that He appeals on our behalf. It means that He appeals to the Father on our behalf. He just says He takes our groanings, He takes our utterings, He takes our infirmities. And God said, I understand. In fact, I'm working things out. Because we know. that God works all things out. For good. For good. Even when we don't see it. See it. He says, look at this. There's another word there in verse number 26. The Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's the idea of a sigh of the result of a deep concern. It's like a sigh of pain. My wife broke her arm like 4 weeks ago. I think it's been 4 weeks ago. And she'll be sitting in her chair and I'll be sitting in my chair. And she's over there just... And so I didn't say anything the first couple of times. But after a while, I'm like, what's going on? What's wrong? And you know what she's doing? She's in pain and she's groaning and she is huffing and puffing and she don't even realize it. Because there's a pain there. There's a hurt there. You know, we groan and we suffer and the Spirit takes intercession for our groanings and our utterings and our pains of life. And He says, son, I'm working. I know you can't see I'm working. Or is everybody with me this morning? Amen. I'm working even though you can't see I'm working. Amen. You know what we need to do? Keep praying. Amen. Keep crying out to God. The Spirit is deeply concerned about you. Amen. God is concerned about you. He says, which cannot be uttered. He says, hey, miss, which cannot be uttered. And by, in fact, this is a single word, and it just means to arouse in strong emotions. Meaning, one cannot find words to speak. I've been there. Lord, I don't even know what to say. God, I admit to you, I don't know how to pray. God, I don't know. You know my heart. You know my desire. Lord, you know what I want. You know what I want, but I don't always know the will of God. And so it's inexpressible. It's unutterable. And you know what? We can be encouraged to know that when we don't know how, what to pray, the Holy Spirit of God perfectly intercedes for us. Listen to this. According to God's will. And so not only do we have a companion, but because of that, we can have confidence. Look at verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Not only do we have the companion of the Holy Ghost, but we have the confidence in knowing that God is working things out. Even when we don't understand. And we'll all admit, we don't understand. Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand it at all. That verse speaks of God's providence. Our confidence is not in our ability or our knowledge. Our confidence is in God. And that's why we need to say it over and over and over. Lord, I love You. I trust You. Lord, I love You and I trust You. And it's also why we say, God is good. All the time. Even when we don't understand. Why? Because God's working it out. Amen. Preacher, I need some answers. Well, that's between God. That's between God and what He desires to show us. Notice it says all things. Isn't that amazing? This includes the pleasant things and the unpleasant things. The good days and the bad days. The hard times and the good times. God's working it all out. I like good times better than hard times. But you know what the truth is many times I learn more in the hard times than I do in the good times. Many times in the hard times, I pray more. I beg God more. When things are not good, I get closer to God. We're kind of weird people in that if things are going good, sometimes we grow away from God. God sometimes has to bring a little pain, a little suffering, a little anxiety, if you want to put that way, to draw us closer back to Him. Everybody got this? But I'll tell you this, our confidence is in God. All things work together for good. Paul begins this verse with, and we know. We believers have a sure thing in Jesus Christ. We can face every situation with the confidence that God is in charge and God will prevail. I find this interesting that when Darwin started his Origin of Species, he used the phrase, we suppose, over 800 times. Well, God's people don't suppose, we know. How sad that there would have to be this idea of we suppose. Listen, I don't suppose, I know. I heard a preacher say, listen, we're not confused about creation. We're not confused about who God is. The world is confused. As children of God, we don't have to suppose. We know, and I know. Just like salvation, we can know that we have eternal life. He said this in 2 Timothy 1:12. He said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things," he said to Timothy. "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." So not only do we have a companion in the Holy Ghost of God, we have confidence that God knows everything and is working everything out. And then He says this, and this we have a certainty. Look at verse 29. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." This is a certainty. If you're saved by the grace of God, listen to this, you are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Doesn't mean, this is crazy when people try to take predestination and attach it to being born. That would be like saying Charles, that guy's probably 70, 80 years old. His wife, his mother's still alive. And she's the Queen of England. When he was born, nobody said he was destined to be born. But he was destined to become the King of England one day. And so predestination has the idea that we have been predetermined or predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Listen, that's a certainty. That's why God's working all things out. I want you to understand these verses deal with the glorification of the believer. John declared, "We shall be like Him." So many jump on the word and miss the word conform, losing sight of the fact that God's ultimate purpose in predestination is to bring about in the believer a Christ-likeness. And by the way, suffering sometimes brings us closer to Christ. He suffered. We are such a people in America who do not like suffering. We want everything to be hunky-dory all the time. And that's not life. It's not always going to be hunky-dory. God has predestined that every believer be conformed to the image of Christ. The word predestined means to determine before or to establish one's boundaries. In fact, it's an interesting word. We get our English word horizon from it, meaning perfection is just over the horizon. The Christian's ultimate destiny, listen to this, has been predetermined by God. We will be like Christ. And even, we're to be Christ-like, but we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is when we get over on the other side. Amen. God's predetermined plan is that all who believe would be made just like His Son. That's why in verse 29 it says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate." Look at this. "To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Listen, this is a certainty. This is a certainty. God loves you just the way you are, but too much to leave you that way. God loves you just the way you are, but He loves you too much just to leave you that way. He is so pleased with His Son that He wants all believers to be just like Him. God's plan involves three stages. Number one, and these are all in these verses right here, verse number 28, 29, and 30. Number one, He calls the lost to get saved, to have faith in Christ. Whenever he or she responds by faith, guess what? They're justified. That's what He says here. "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He called. Whom He called, them also He justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified." So there's a justification. Those who are justified are glorified. He used the past tense form in this verb. Isn't that amazing? While their glorification is a future event, Paul speaks as it's already been accomplished. That's why I like Colossians when it says we are seated in heavenly places. I'm thinking, man, I don't feel like I'm seated in heavenly places. I feel like I'm consumed by the world. But the idea is it's just as if we're already there. Amen. That's a certainty.
Amen.
That's a certainty. Yeah, there's suffering in this world. But we don't suffer without hope. Yes, there's suffering in this world, but we don't suffer without help. We have a companion. We have somebody that helps us with our infirmities. We have a certainty that it's going to be okay. We have confidence that God's working everything out, even when we can't see it. And so while their glorification is future, Paul says it's already accomplished. From God's standpoint, our salvation is a settled matter here and there. And by the way, He never loses any person in the process.
Amen.
Praise God for that. So here's the whole premise, if I could bring it into just a few words. Paul said that believers can find help and hope in the midst of their suffering because the Holy Spirit of God intercedes for us and God is working in our life according to His eternal plan. And you can have help and hope in the midst of your suffering because the Holy Spirit intercedes for you and God is working in your life, in your life, in your life, according to His eternal plan. That's great confidence because of God's great certainty. As a believer, the Holy Spirit comes to your aid. He's there to help. He's there to help you with the load that is too much for you to carry. When you don't know what to pray, rest in the fact that the Holy Spirit intercedes for you. Listen to this. According to God's will. Regardless of what you're going through, take hope in the fact that God is working out His plan in your life as a believer. You've got help.
Amen.
And that you got help because you have a great companion. You have great confidence. You have great certainty. You know, it's easy to feel alone in the struggles of life. Sometimes as a pastor, I'll be a little transparent. Sometimes it's a lonely place. I was watching a golf tournament yesterday, and it was the Corn Ferry Tour, because the PGA Tour is finished, and I had it on. And the Corn Ferry Tour is all these guys working, and we have a Corn Ferry event here at Highland Springs every year, and I've been out there several times, and we're watching guys who are trying to get to the PGA. And they're working hard. And they're going to all these cities and they're playing. And there's a guy that's been on the PGA Tour before. And he's from Thailand. And they interviewed him. And man, he just started spilling his guts. And they took this interview and then they digested it and dissected it. And basically he was saying, this is a lonely place. He said, I'm the only Thai guy out here. I'm the only guy. He goes, I don't have any friends. My family is in Thailand. It's not like it's 22 hours for me to go home, so I have to stay over here because I can't afford to go back and forth, and I'm trying to win my PGA. And I'm telling you, I was about to start to cry. I mean, you could feel the loneliness that this guy had felt. He didn't have any friends. He said finally he got his caddy to come over that was tied. He said at least he had him. And he was just talking about the loneliness of the tour and the loneliness. And again, they took that and they dissected it for about 20 minutes. And I'm telling you, if you think about it, it's easy to feel alone when you're in a struggle. When you're in a crisis. When you have pain. The Spirit, though, is there to help you. The Spirit intercedes, and God's eternal purposes are assured that our pain and our struggles and our infirmities, listen to this, has a purpose.
Amen.
Even when we can't see it.
Yeah.
Folks, we got to grab a hold of that.
Amen.
Since that is true, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Praise God for the Holy Spirit that helps me with my infirmities, my time of need. All we have to do is just take advantage of it. It's already certain. There's great confidence that our companion is there with us. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed. You may be going through something this morning that nobody else knows about. And Paul said the believer can find help and hope in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their need.